This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Monday, August 13th, 2018. Coming up this hour.
Stocks around the world decline as the economic crisis in Turkey bleeds into global markets.
The lira weakens to a new record even as the central bank boosts liquidity.
Analysts call the move too little too late, saying Turkey is headed for a full-blown financial crisis.
The white supremacist rally in Washington pretty much petered out. Plus, pushback from the White House days before a tell-all book from Omarosa Manigault Newman. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Yankees and Mets both won. They'll play each other tonight in the Bronx. Brooks Koepka won the PGA Championship, and Tiger Woods put on a show. He finished second.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
Stocks around the world are declining as the economic crisis in Turkey bleeds into global markets. 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures down 10 points, Dow futures down 100, NASDAQ futures down 29, the DAX in Germany is down 0.6%, CAC in Paris down 0.4%, FTSE 100 down 0.5%, Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 2%, the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 1.5%, 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 2.86%, yield on the 2-year 2.59%, NYMEX crude oil is up less than 0.1% or 4 cents to $67.66 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.8% or $10 to $12.09 an ounce. The euro, $1.1385. The yen, 110.34. And the Turkish lira at 6.88 per dollar.
And Karen, the lira is weakening for a fourth day, reaching a new record low as President Erdogan shows no signs of backing down from his standoff with the United States. Bloomberg's Yusuf Kamaluddin joins us with the latest from Istanbul. Good morning, Yusuf.
Good morning, Bob and Karen. It's been a dramatic few hours for Turkey. Over the weekend, President Recep Tayyip Erdogan penned an editorial in the New York Times outlining the country's case in the dispute over the American pastor that's being held in Turkey. Also on the score that they are looking at alternatives when it comes to the relationship with the United States. Domestically, of course, the focus is on the lira. Turkish assets continue to sell off after we had a bit of a move from the central bank. They're injecting more liquidity into the system, $6 billion worth, but the market reaction is clear. Investors are looking for bold action from the central bank, and that is not going to be anything short of interest rate hikes, which has been a politically charged issue for President Recep Tayyip Erdogan. In Istanbul, I'm Yusuf Gamedidin, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Yusuf, thank you. The economic crisis in Turkey is bleeding into global markets with stocks in Asia tumbling today. Bloomberg's Juliet Sali reports from Singapore.
The Indian rupee fell to a record low while Indian stocks were also under pressure as the turmoil in Turkey damped investors' appetite for Asia's best-performing equity market. The Indonesian rupiah took one of the biggest hits against the dollar, falling to October 2015 lows before the nation's central bank said it was intervening to stabilize the currency. Indonesian stocks were among the hardest hit in the region. The stronger yen saw the Nikkei 225 close lower by 2%. Chinese stocks listed on the mainland fared better than some in the region, stocks in Shenzhen actually rising. The CSI 300 of large-cap stocks closed down by 0.4% ahead of a raft of Chinese data released Tuesday. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Juliet. We also see effects of the economic crisis in Turkey showing up in Europe and Africa. Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Anna Edwards joins us live from London now with details. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning, Bob and Karen. Contagion from Turkey is evident in currency markets as the South African rand slides. It's off its session lows, but still weaker by more than 2% this morning. But stocks in Johannesburg gain as companies that benefit from a weak rand trade higher. European stocks have not been spared the risk-off mood, but declines are more contained than on Friday. Some peripheral banks with exposure to Turkey are weaker, though. BBVA and UniCredit both trade down by more than 3%. The euro is also weaker, but again, not by as much as Friday. Friday. It trades a quarter of a percent down at 113.87. There's been some flight to core sovereign bonds, evident, but not peripheral debt markets. And gold is not a haven this morning, thanks, some say, to dollar strength. Live in London, I'm Anna Edwards, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Anna, thank you. President Erdogan's comments over the weekend spark concern that Turkey is heading toward a full-blown financial crisis. Jacob Kierkegaard is a senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics.
I'm not quite certain that the top leadership in Ankara really understands what is about to hit them. By that, I mean obviously a full-blown financial crisis.
And analysts say today's action from Turkey's central bank could be too little, too late. Divya Devesh is an FX strategist at Standard Chartered.
It doesn't have to be only monetary policy. I think it has to be a combination of monetary policy, fiscal policy, and also foreign policy.
The Turkish lira has lost about a quarter of its value against the dollar since the U.S. imposed sanctions on members of President Erdogan's government.
Turning to some corporate news now, shares of Bayer, known as Bayer here in the U.S., are down more than 10% in Frankfurt. The move comes after Monsanto was hit with a $289 million damage penalty from the trial over claims that Roundup weed killer causes cancer. Bayer acquired Monsanto earlier this year.
And here in the U.S., the board of Tesla meets this week to consider Elon Musk's pitch to privatize the company, and we're learning more about who may and may not be part of any deal. Ed Lalo reports from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Saudi Arabia's public investment fund is exploring how it can play a role, according to sources, after the PIF's already built up an almost 5% stake in Tesla. SoftBank won't be seeking to take part. Musk did meet with SoftBank last year to discuss such a deal, but they're no longer interested. Meanwhile, the SEC is investigating Musk's initial tweet that funding for this deal had been secured. At least two investors have sued Musk and Tesla, alleging share price manipulation. In San Francisco, Ed Ludlow, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ed, thank you. Elliott Management reportedly is planning to push Nielsen to sell itself. That's according to the Wall Street Journal, which says Elliott could unveil the effort as soon as today. Multiple private equity firms reportedly have already expressed interest in Nielsen. S&P futures this morning down 10 points. That is a third of 1%. And again, the Turkish lira is trading down 6.5%. This is Bloomberg. And now 6:07 on Wall Street. We get the latest at home and around the world now from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. For the most part, a white supremacist rally in Washington petered out as only a fraction of participants showed up for yesterday's Unite the Right to rally. In Charlottesville, Virginia, the mother of the woman killed last year in the rally said that the country's racial wounds still have not healed. Susan Breaux is the mother of the woman who died. Heather Heyer.
Focus on the issues. That's exactly what Heather would say. Quit looking at me, look at the issues.
Charlottesville community members sang and formed a human chain around Heyer's memorial. Trump administration officials say they're exploring legal options to deal with former White House advisor and Apprentice contestant Omarosa Manigault Newman as she promotes her tell-all book about the Trump White House. Manigault Newman is unveiling secret recordings she made in the White House. She spoke to NBC's Meet the Press, as heard on Bloomberg Radio.
I protected myself because this is a White House where everybody lies. The president lies to the American people. Sarah Huckabee stands in front of the country and lies every single day. You have to have your own back, because otherwise you'll look back and you'll see 17 knives in your back.
Manigault Newman also says President Trump is, quote, truly a racist and a con when it comes to diversity. White House Counselor Kellyanne Conway on ABC's This Week denied the president is a racist.
I have worked alongside that man for over two straight years now without interruption. I have never a single time heard him use a racial slur about anyone.
ABC's This Week is also heard on Bloomberg Radio. Cleanup continues after heavy thunderstorms caused flooding across New Jersey over the weekend. In Totowah, rushing water swept SUVs off a car dealer's lot and into the Pekman River. Tens of thousands of people evacuated near the Philippines capital of Manila as nonstop rain triggered floods. Bloomberg's Cecilia Yap has more from Manila.
The scene was reminiscent of the 2009 deadly storm Katsina, which killed hundreds in Metro Manila. Families were on rooftops seeking help through Twitter and Facebook. Schools were shut, roads were impassable, train services were halted. A tropical storm outside the Philippines is enhancing the monsoon, bringing widespread rain over the main Luzon island. The rain will continue until early this week. In Manila, Cecilia Yap, Bloomberg Radio.
Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you. Now 6:09 on Wall Street. That is time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. The 100th PGA Championship, and maybe the most thrilling ever, because Tiger Woods turned back the clock, had his best major in a decade, had his best final round in a major ever, shot a 64, had the place in St. Louis going nuts, but he fell two shots shy of Brooks Koepka, Mr. Major. Koepka has only won four tournaments in his career, but three of them have been majors. He's won three of the last five, played on U.S. soil, yet the big story was Tiger and the gallery.
The people here were so positive. The energy was incredible, but I'm just this the positiveness of that. Everyone was willing, you know, every shot that everyone hit, there was no negative comments. No one was jeering, no one was making snide remarks. Everyone was just very positive.
Tiger will be thinking about two putts on the back nine, one that lipped out, another that stopped a fraction of an inch short. At the stadium, first inning homer by Giancarlo Stanton, his 30th, fifth in the last six games. D.D. Gregorius homered, made a great play in the field. CeCe Sabathia won six innings, allowed just one hit. Yanks beat Texas 7-2. The Mets and Noah Syndergaard beat the Marlins 4-3. That rainout from last month will be made up tonight. A one-game Subway Series in the Bronx. Same pitchers that were originally going to go. A pair of all-stars, Jacob DeGrom and Luis Severino. What a win last night at Wrigley for the Cubs, trailing Washington 3-0. Two outs, bottom of the ninth. David Bodie, a rookie, hit a pinch-hit grand slam. The Cubs won 4-3. The Little League team from Staten Island off to the World Series. They clinched when Gregory Bruno pitched a perfect game. Tennis in Canada, top seeds, won tournaments. Rafael Nadal in Toronto, Simona Halep in Montreal. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
John, thanks very much. Just breaking on the Bloomberg, VF plans a tax-free spinoff of its jeans business to VF Holders, VF Corporation, an international apparel company. S&P futures at this hour, down 10 points, a third of 1%. This is Daybreak. And a sports update brought to you by Investors Bank. Connect with the experts at Investors Bank. With strong relationships and customized solutions, they work with your business every step of the way. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning to you. It is 6:30 on Wall Street. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks falling around the world as the economic crisis in Turkey bleeds into global markets. The lira is weakening for a fourth day, reaching a new record low as President Erdogan shows no signs of backing down from his standoff with the United States. Bloomberg's Simon Demirkan reports from Istanbul.
In three public addresses on Sunday, Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan lashed out at the United States, threatening to find new alliances and new markets. He also took higher interest rates off the table and said Turkey wouldn't accept an international bailout. His message was essentially the opposite of what investors have called for to stem the plunge in the markets. In Istanbul, Simon Demirkan, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Simon. Turkey's central bank now pledging to take all necessary measures to bolster investor confidence. Still, policymakers made no mention of raising rates. The Turkish lira continues to weaken. It is trading down now 6%.
Shares of Bayer down more than 10%. Its U.S. Monsanto unit was hit with almost $300 million in damages in the first trial over claims that Roundup weed killer causes cancer.
Tesla shares are up 0.5%. Saudi Arabia's sovereign wealth fund wants to be part of any investor pool that takes the electric car maker private. Sources say the fund is exploring how it can be involved.
Shares of Wells Fargo are down 1%. Bloomberg has learned that the Justice Department is looking into whether Wells Fargo and other banks colluded with developers of low-cost housing on bids for tax credits.
And shares of eSure are up nearly 30% in London. The company received an unsolicited offer from Bain Capital, and the board of eSure is expected to recommend the bid. It is now 6:32 on Wall Street. Time for your volatility index report. And the VIX rose on Friday to close out the week at 13.16. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is higher, now up to 14.31. That's this morning's volatility report.
And futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down 8.5 points. Dow futures down 88. NASDAQ futures down 27. Again, S&P futures down 8.5. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. So is the FTSE 100. CAC in Paris down 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32nds, yield 2.86%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.59%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.2% or 12 cents to $67.51 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.8% or $9.80. Cents at 1209.20 an ounce. The euro, $1.1386, and the yen, 110.35. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street, a tense but relatively peaceful march on Washington. That and more now from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Events to mark the anniversary of the deadly violence at a white supremacist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, were largely peaceful, with police making just a handful of arrests. In Washington, thousands of people wanting to send a message that racism is not welcome gathered yesterday outside the White House to protest a planned white supremacist rally in a nearby park. Only a fraction of the expected hundreds of white supremacists attended the Unite the Right to rally. The D.C. police chief, Peter Newsom.
An event like this has a high probability of injury and possibility of even death, as we saw in Charlottesville just 1 year ago. No one was injured today in the District of Columbia, and nobody was killed.
It also rained during the fizzled-out white supremacist rally. A bus hit an overpass at Newark's Penn Station, peeling back part of its roof and injuring dozens of passengers. Officials say about 50 people were on the bus, which was headed to New Jersey from Washington, when it hit the overpass at the entrance of the station late last night. Trump administration officials say they're exploring legal options to deal with former staffer Omarosa Manigault Newman. Secret recordings in the White House are surfacing as the ex-reality TV star promotes her new book. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
Omarosa releasing a recording of her being fired by Chief of Staff John Kelly, where he advises to be friendly.
It was a year of service to the nation. And then you can go on without any type of difficulty in the future relative to your reputation.
Asked why she lied about goings-on in the White House, she says she felt threatened by a dysfunctional White House filled with liars.
You have to have your own back, because otherwise you'll look back and you'll see 17 knives in your back.
She also says she heard recordings of President Trump use the N-word in meetings. Presidential Advisor Kellyanne Conway says, no way.
I have never heard the President of the United States use a racial slur about anyone.
Saying Omarosa has no credibility left. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Manigault Newman spoke on NBC's Meet the Press, which can be heard on Bloomberg Radio. A flight data recorder from a plane stolen by a baggage handler in Washington State will be sent to the lab in Washington, D.C. The Horizon Air Q400 plane with Richard Russell at the controls crashed. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you. Now 6:35 on Wall Street. That is time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. And good morning to you, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. Tiger Woods still hasn't won a tournament in 5 years and a major in 10, but what a performance by Tiger at the PGA Championship, beating everyone except Brooks Koepka. Tiger shot a 64, his best final round ever in a major, but Koepka, with a tournament record 16 under par, beat Tiger by two shots.
Brooks, what he's doing back there is it's tough to beat. When the guy hits a 340 down the middle, that's tough. And you know what he did at Shinnecock, you know, just bombing it, and then he's doing the same thing here. I played with him in practice round. He was literally hitting it 340, 350 in the air. And when a guy's doing that and hitting it straight, and as good a putter as he is, it's tough to beat.
At least in majors, Koepka's now won three of the last five played on U.S. soil. He's only won one tournament that's a non-major. He's one of five to win the PGA Championship and the U.S. Open the same year. Tiger was the last to do that in 2000. A one-game Subway Series tonight in the Bronx, a makeup from a rainout last month. Jacob DeGrom against Luis Severino. Yankees 6-1 since getting swept in Boston. They beat Texas 7-2 behind CC Sabathia. Home runs by Giancarlo Stanton and D.D. Gregorius. The Mets beat the Marlins 4-3. Homers for Jose Reyes and Michael Conforto. David Wright, that's a name from the past. He played a minor league game. He hopes to return to the Mets this season. Hasn't played for them in 2 years. Cubs last night stunned Washington 4-3 on rookie David Bodie's pinch hit grand slam with two outs in the ninth. Staten Island's Little League team got a perfect game from Gregory Bruno and now off to the World Series. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stanshower. Bob?
Thank you, John. Now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
Whether or not Representative Chris Collins engaged in insider trading, his indictment exposes what a poor job Congress has done to guard against such transgressions. If prosecutors are correct, Collins exploited his position as director of an Australian biotech company. He learned that clinical drug trial results would soon drive down the company's stock and tipped off his son. Which brings up the obvious question. Why is a member of Congress permitted to serve as a board director of a for-profit company? The conflict of interest is blatant. No sitting member of Congress should serve as a company director. It's unfortunate that we need to restrict representatives' ability to exploit public service for private gain. It's also obviously necessary. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. For more Bloomberg opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or O-P-I-N go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. When it comes to seasonal workers, ski resorts could be left out in the cold, and it's largely due to a dwindling number of seasonal work visas. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
There's been more pressure and demand from ski resorts for H-2B workers due to the strong economy and low unemployment. But there's a cap on those of 33,000 for the fall and winter.
Employers are finding that, you know, in order to get all of the workers that they need, they're struggling against the system where there is a finite entity there.
Bloomberg Law's Genevieve Douglas.
The alternative to the H-2B is a J-1 visa, which is a student exchange international type of visa.
But one problem with those is they do not cover the entire ski season. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nancy. Now 6:39 on Wall Street. That is time for your Bloomberg Green Business Report. Plastic trash is rising to the top of the heap of environmental concerns, leading some companies to wonder if plastic can be chemically broken down and recycled. Doing so would enable plastics to get put directly back into the production process and reused in an infinitely recyclable loop. A European Union-funded research consortium has developed a process using microwaves to speed up a chemical reaction. Several companies are working on ways to break down plastic to its basic building blocks called monomers. Since plastic doesn't biodegrade, developing new ways to break it down has long been a goal of companies and recycling advocates. It would dramatically cut the need for new plastic made largely from petroleum and vastly improve the life cycle of plastics. Typically, the relatively small amount of plastic that gets recycled, around 9%, undergoes a mechanical process that involves shredding it down into small pieces and then remolding it into new products. And that's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. S&P futures currently down 6 points. That is not quite a 0.25%. 10-year Treasury prices up 1/32. The yield down to 2.8678%. This is Bloomberg. Daybreak brought to you by Willoughby's since 1898. New York City's boutique camera store for precision-crafted Hasselblad and Leica cameras, plus a full selection of GoPro action-adventure cameras. Willoughby's, corner of 5th Avenue and 35th Street.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures this morning are moving lower. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are under pressure as Turkey continues to weigh on global markets. Dow futures currently down 78 points. S&P's dropped 7 and NASDAQ futures declined by 20. Note the Turkish ETF is down 11% in the pre-market. The U.S. 10-year yield falls to 2.87%. The Nikkei dropped 2% overnight, while European markets are also under pressure. pressure, led by 1% losses in Spain. Back in the U.S., nothing to report on the economic front. And after the bell on Friday, at its Roundup trial, Monsanto was hit with a $250 million in punitive damages. Bayer dropped the most in 7 years in Germany this morning. In deal news, the Wall Street Journal reported that Elliott is said to take a greater than 8% stake in Nielsen and will push for a sale. Wrapping things up, Akamai was downgraded to neutral at Credit Suisse, AGCO downgraded to underweight at JP Morgan, and Goodyear downgraded to equal weight at Morgan Stanley. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thank you, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg Times Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, former White House aide Omarosa Manigault Newman, whose book is set to be released in a few days, defended the secret recording she made of White House Chief of Staff John Kelly firing her. Manigault Newman says if she did not have this recording, people would still believe she was running around the White House trying to set off alarms. Manigault Newman also claims she is aware of a recording where Trump used the N-word. Michael Avenatti, the lawyer for adult film actress Stormy Daniels, says he may be getting ready to run as a Democratic presidential candidate in 2020. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets won. The Red Sox beat the Orioles 4-1. The Nationals lost. The A's and Giants won. And as heard on Bloomberg Radio, Brooks Koepka won the PGA Championship, fending off a challenge from a second-place Tiger Woods. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, the wall began on this date in 1961. The first barbed wire of the Berlin Wall began appearing. Back then, about 1,000 people were leaving East Germany each day for the West. Nikita Khrushchev gave the leader of East Germany permission to seal off all access between East and West Berlin. Bob, the barbed wire eventually became a 10-foot-high, 96-mile wall that lasted until 1989.
I remember seeing the wall when Ronald Reagan went to visit Berlin, the tear down this wall speech.
Yep, that's right.
And they were very worried about security, and he just sort of leaned over and waved at those East German guards.
Yeah, I would never forget it, seeing that chunk of the wall coming down.
Yep.
That was something. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you very much. It is now 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Today's agenda in our nation's capital includes President Trump signing the John McCain National Defense Authorization Act, the Congressional Budget Office releasing its updated economic outlook, and Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue meeting local officials in Redding, California to discuss the wildfires across that state. Also making news this morning, remarks from former White House aide Omarosa, alleging racist remarks from President Trump. She spoke to NBC's Meet the Press just days before the publication of a new book about her time in the White House.
He actually insulted me by calling me a lowlife. That is a man who is inclined to start racially charged engagement and use race to kind of stir up his base.
Joining us now with more on those remarks from the former White House aide is Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Kathleen, good morning. So what else did she have to say in her interview yesterday?
Well, it was interesting to hear Omarosa try to sort of provide an explanation for why she remained at the Trump White House as long as she did, given the concerns that she's now voicing. I think that, you know, kind of one of the big bombshells out of yesterday was the that she elaborated on yesterday, at least, was the revelation that she had sneaked a tape recorder into the White House and had tapes of her firing by John Kelly and the what Kelly had to say to her.
Not just
that.
In the White House, but in the Situation Room.
Well, exactly. In the White House Situation Room of all places, which in a way, I guess I was a little curious as to why the firing actually even occurred there. But yeah, I mean, that's supposed to be a highly kind of secretive, no words get out sort of place. So it was pretty significant that she did that. And the release of the tape was pretty significant.
And the White House has not been too pleased by all of this.
Yeah, that's to put it mildly. You know, I think that we've seen Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the press secretary, Kellyanne Conway, who's part of the communications team, really kind of dig into Omarosa and suggest that, you know, essentially make that point, you know, that she was okay with working there, and now that she doesn't work there, she's sort of spilling all the beans and making all these accusations. And they point out that these accusations also coincide with the release of her book and essentially accuse her of just trying to sell sell copies of her book by riling all this up.
And the White House press secretary has specifically pointed to that Situation Room recording because that apparently is a national security issue.
Yeah, I mean, I guess on some level, I don't know why it baffles my mind a little bit as to why the firing occurred there. But, you know, things that do occur there tend to be national security issues. So I guess if her firing qualified, then sure.
At the same time, a white nationalist rally in Washington yesterday, it had sparked concerns ahead of the gathering, but it all seemingly petered out yesterday.
Yeah, I think it was a pretty sharp contrast to last year where, you know, the permit that they – we already expected it to be a smaller protest than last year. The permit that the Unite the Right folks had applied for suggested there would be about 400 protesters. And by the count of the folks that showed up, it was probably about several dozen. So much smaller than anticipated, certainly much, much smaller than last year. The weather didn't help. There were thunderstorms. There was some talk that some people had been planning to come but missed a train. But it seems as though some of the energy has gone out of that, for sure.
The weather actually may have helped in the sense that it put a damper on things very early.
Yeah, I think there was a concern that this really could kick off given how violent things got last year. And so I think that all around there was sort of a sigh of relief that there wasn't the type of violence that occurred last year, for sure.
Okay, on the legal front, we're entering week three now of the trial of former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort. Kathleen, can you tell us where things stand and what to expect this week?
Yeah, so last week we saw Rick Gates testify. He's the prosecution's star witness. That was kind of the highlight of last week. I think heading into this week, it looks like the prosecution's likely to wrap up their case before too long. And then the question becomes what sort of a case the defense chooses to present and how long they take in doing that. If they don't present a whole lot of evidence and the prosecution's able to wrap up, the judge has certainly indicated that he's eager to wrap up this trial as quickly as possible. So, you know, the case could potentially go to the jury this week, but we certainly don't know that for sure.
And there are indications that Donald Trump, even though he says Paul Manafort was not a big deal in his campaign, is continuing to follow this.
Yeah, there definitely are indications of that via the president's Twitter feed and other venues. But I think that, you know, again, as we're getting closer to the moment where this case goes to the jury, I think that's going to be really, really significant because either we're going to see, you know, potentially we're going to see either Trump's former campaign chairman convicted on some pretty major crimes or see him acquitted or some other permutation of a mistrial or something like that or hung jury. But I think that, you know, getting some kind of a verdict potentially in this case as soon as this week, that's certainly something the White House, all of Washington and, you know, frankly, people around the globe are going to be watching.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thank you very much. And you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Karen.
It's 6:55 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. And here's John Tucker.
When friends and family visited him in New York, Nick Gray liked to entertain them by giving them offbeat tours of the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Gray made his tours even better by pestering friends with feedback forms. And thanks to attention online, he went professional in 2013, settling on a name, Museum Hack, hiring guides, and expanding. Tours of institutions in five cities with unreverent titles such as Unhighlights soon captured the attention of museum professionals. The Arizona State University Art Museum hired Museum Hack to help create programming. The company developed an event modeled on the escape room trend, real-world adventure games that involve solving puzzles and challenges. Consulting for and working with cultural institutions has become the company's fastest-growing line of business, rising from nothing just 2 years ago to almost a quarter of its $2.7 million in revenue in 2017. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All right, John, thank you. Coming up this week, the U.S. economic calendar will touch on a variety of industries. We get the details now from Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice.
Look for data on retail sales, industrial production, and housing starts. Things, by and large, have been chugging along, but economists are keeping an eye on retailing as trade tensions mount and tariffs kick in. There's worry White House trade policy could fire up inflation. Tariffs on metals and other basic materials could also take a toll on manufacturing, which accounts for about 75% of industrial production. Then there's the impact of Fed tightening. Rising mortgage rates have been weighing on home building. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. Some other stories we've been following this morning. OPEC crude production rose in July despite sliding output in Libya, Iran, and Saudi Arabia. The bloc's output averaged 32.32 million barrels a day in July, up 41,000 barrels a day from June. That's according to the group's monthly oil market report. It cited secondary source figures. VF Corporation planning to spin off its Lee and Wrangler jeans business to focus on faster-growing outdoor products and activewear, such as its North Face and Vans brands. The spinoff to shareholders should be completed in the first half of next year, VF said in a statement confirming a report last week from the Wall Street Journal. The jeans business, which is yet to be named, will be based in Greensboro, North Carolina, while VW will move its headquarters to, or VF rather, will move its headquarters to the Denver area. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow coming up on Bloomberg Radio for our listeners in Washington, D.C. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.